CliffCentral.com.
Look at you. Wow. That's
what I like in the morning.
You like to be, like to be welcome.
Oh, what a fanfare.
We need to give you a fanfare. Wow, what a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I've heard a lot about you.
What have you heard?
You're a VIP. A very important person.
Really?
Yes.
People have been lying to you.
All the way in Bora Bora.
Listen, you've been here before, right?
Yes.
You were here in 2013.
Yes, and I was here last year with my daughter.
Oh, very nice. So you like South Africa?
Love it.
That's good. We like you.
Thank you.
Have you already done some of the shows?
No, we're going to be doing those in October, November. And I came here early to audition singers. It's kind of what you do for a living.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Back okay. I want to use mostly South African guys.
Oh, wow.
Very
and
good.
I think there's enough great musicians here that I know. So I want to do that this time.
So this is like a working trip for you, but you're
absolutely.
Not actually performing, aren't you?
Not yet, no.
Wow, that's very nice. Well, Jennifer Rush, what a story. I mean, first of all, I remember that song, Power of Love. You co-wrote that?
Yes.
You must have been so happy when that Celine Dion picked up that song and started to
You're
make
actually the only person who said that.
But you must
I wasn't. Emotionally, I thought, gee, I wish I had had the hit in the States, you know, because it was still relevant for me to do it then. But in the beginning, no, but yes, it's...
I mean, it's paid off, right?
Absolutely.
Because every time Celine gets up there and starts belting out that song, you go ka-ching.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, hell
yes. And then the trick is, of course, to keep the money.
Oh, that's very
good. You
know,
this is all very important, too. Don't spend it all.
Now, back in 1985, you were the most successful female singer in British music.
Mm-hmm.
But you also did have some success in other parts of the world, too.
Most of the world, yeah.
Right.
Before that happened, which is interesting, yeah.
And you were only supplanted in that role by Whitney Houston when she did I Will Always Love You.
Yes, that was an honor.
Yeah, I mean, well, I suppose, but it's quite...
a great voice.
Sure, rather be, you know, have that position taken by her than anyone else.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Sure.
I was a big fan.
You were?
Yep. Yeah. Great voice.
A bit of a mess, though.
Well, it's a tragic. This happens to a lot. It's just tragic.
Now, when you grew up in New York?
Yes, in the city.
And your actual name was Heidi Stern?
My birth name, yep. But I've been Jennifer Rush longer than I was Heidi Stern.
Of course.
I didn't just realize that.
But there's this thing that happened where you had a stage name, and it was a very big thing in the 80s and even before that, too.
Was it? Well, I grew up in
Bob
literally
Dylan and,
the business. So my dad actually had a stage name, too.
Really?
Because, he was a working opera singer. That's why we went to Germany. He got a job in opera house there.
Huh.
So he was Maurice Stern, but his stage name was Mauro Lampi.
Mauro.
It made it very Italian, because he sung Italian
repertoire.
It was
marketing, right?
Yeah, so to me
it was kind
of natural. You know, it was kind of weird, because I liked my name, and when you're a teenager, you know, you think, what are they changing it?
I mean, but Heidi's a nice name. There's nothing wrong with that name.
It was unusual for my mother, who was Italian.
Yeah.
She thought that was very exotic.
I was going to say, because you got a bit of an Italian look to you,
Thank you.
Yeah.
But what is the actual process involved in picking a stage name for yourself? Do you get to have any say in it whatsoever?
The label was always really good to me. So it was like going to college for
they
free
say,
and
oh,
getting paid.
Welcome, your name is now
No. I got actually angry because I thought, what's wrong, with my name, this and that. And they explained it to that I didn't look German.
What?
So, because that's a German name, Heidi, and also Stern, which I didn't know either. It means star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Right.
So,
but is this Jewish Stern or German Stern?
It's not German.
Okay, so it's a New York Jewish Stern.
It's a New York
Jewish
Stern.
Okay, got you.
It's a very common name, kind of like Garrett.
Garrett Cliff, yeah.
So,
there are hundreds of those.
So what I did was, I still have the piece of paper, too. I took a piece of paper and two sides, and I came up with Samantha Rush, and then the label said no because Germans can't pronounce the TH.
Oh, wow.
So
Samantha.
They asked the ladies in the office. You know, I used to be a lady in the office, too.
Right.
And they all wanted Jennifer if they had to be renamed. So there you go. And it's in my passport. It's in all my paperwork.
Well, it makes things easier, right? Because if you've got the two names and you've got a different...
Oh, it was rough in the beginning. They, you know, when they started getting tough at security, I'd have to start singing. And
and they'd go, oh, it is you.
So I had to really get it changed in there,
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm trying to imagine what the music business must have been like in 1985. It must have been such a party. Because that was the age of excess.
I think, to be honest with you, since I was in it, to me, the age of excess even though I wasn't there yet, were the 60s. So when somebody like me is coming up, you always learn from what happened before. And I had heard all kinds of stories about people doing drugs backstage, the managers doing it, the band yeah. doing it, the people even like you. Can you imagine? So that was something that I was very aware of. So we were actually very clean, except for the guy bands, I guess, you know. And right. who knows, maybe they didn't even do it that much.
But I think the image. You know, obviously you were one of the big female singers, the big kind of divas, effectively.
Right, right.
But there was a lot of craziness going on. The record companies had so much money.
Yep.
You know, compared to now, they've got, it's ridiculous.
Nothing.
There's nothing there.
And there's a building and there's like nobody in there.
There's no one there, right.
We have it all on our computers now.
Which record company were you signed to then?
The beginning was CBS, which my dad actually got for me, you know, because he was relentless and he really helped a lot. And that turned into Sony. And then I went from Sony to EMI, uh-huh. EMI to Virgin, and then back to Sony. And now I'm clean and free.
You're on your own.
I have my own
label,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
perfect,
my own publishing
right?
company, and it's Rockbird Music.
You don't
so
need
perfect.
Distribution because you use the internet.
Well, that's what I proved with my last record.
Right.
Is why I did it, too.
You only need the internet now. You don't need to have a whole bunch of trucks dropping off CDs anymore.
Well, that excess, actually, I even noticed, you know, how they were like all go out at night, and I wasn't going out because I have to sing.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm so goody-two-shoes, but come on already. Mm. You're screaming in a bar, smoking cigarettes, drinking, you're not going to be able to sing.
No.
I learned that from my parents, so it's like they were all... You see booze, bottles of champagne in the back, and, you know, cars and limos and private planes that, you know, they're partying. And
I heard stories about how they would spend like $4,000 on fresh flowers every week at Sony's headquarters in New York.
I would believe it.
Jeez,
I would believe it.
Imagine.
Even the I started noticing when they started cutting back, but I wasn't one of those people who was overindulging.
No, sure.
But I mean, I liked, you know, to be on the plane and this and that, but the kind of overindulgence and the amount of staff. They had an office in every little city. You know, not just, let's say, Germany, just not just like Frankfurt, which is fair enough. Or maybe down south Munich. They had one in Cologne, which is like 40 minutes from Frankfurt, here, there, with a staff.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I started seeing that going down before the internet. So once the internet hit, that was a really rude awakening.
I'm fascinated, though, in how your parents, because they were performers, your mother was a pianist,
she still is,
right?
Yeah. Mm. She was hired at the Munich Opera House as what they call a korrepetitorin, a pianist who accompanies and coaches.
Korrepetitorin. Korrepetitorin.
There you go.
Jeez.
And she would, you know, rehearse.
Is that healthy?
Yes, very. Rehearse all the opera singers. I never really went for opera, but, you know, it was a good foundation to listen to.
But what a family. Your dad is an opera singer.
Yes.
Your mom's a pianist. You've got two brothers.
Yes, two older brothers who are also very talented.
One is a saxophonist.
Good for you. You've done your homework.
And the other one?
Is a guitar player, rock player. The other one's more jazz.
Wow.
He's a rock singer and a good songwriter.
Was there pressure on you to be a performer?
I didn't want to be, quite honestly, at all. And then my dad, he was very clever how he did it, because, you know, your father always knows, I guess. So he did some tapes with me that I didn't take very seriously, and he shopped those around. And then he says, okay, you have to. I was in Seattle, Washington at the time with my mom, and he said, I need you to come over here. I said, no, I don't want to go back to Germany. He said, you have to come over here. And I went, and I sung for the record label in their little basement. And after one song, the guy asked me, would you like some water? And I thought, what is he asking me if I want water? It's so weird.
Yeah.
But they were like thrilled.
They were excited. They must have heard something they liked.
He was very excited. Isn't that something?
Well, you've got a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
I mean, I can even pick it up. I haven't heard many of your songs for a couple of years
now. That's terrible.
I know, it's my fault.
You have to keep playing them, listening to them in your private time.
What was the reason that you didn't want to be a performer initially?
It's a lot of, when you, for me anyway, seeing them in life, them meaning everybody I grew up with,
yeah.
They were not only performing, they were vocal coaches. They were extremely intense, extremely passionate, very ambitious, and it leads to a lot of neuroticism. I'm serious. And people
yeah.
come over from the States to audition. Everybody's auditioning. Everybody's, my voice, not talking, not this. It's like, oh, God. It's very weird, huh?
Soros, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
I imagine that being in a family like this, too, if you weren't a performer, they would have all just ignored you. So
oh,
it's just
no,
as well.
They would have been fine.
It's just as well.
No,
that
no,
you
no,
got
they would
say.
Have been fine. But you're right. Everybody is very involved in their art.
Yeah.
Which I think is very fair. However, I was a little more on the business side because I enjoy that. Why should a singer also not be interested in that? You know,
sure,
that's kind of ridiculous.
Fact, it's
well, nowadays it's okay, but when I was doing it, it was kind of like dumbed down, you know?
It's essential. Mm-hmm. First of all, when you were doing it, there weren't a lot of women in the music business.
Yeah, I never realized that. You know, when you're in doing it, you just don't really get it. You know, you're just doing what you have to do and enjoying that.
Did you ever experience the kind of like outright chauvinist bad attitude that a lot of men had in the music business?
And I would get asked that while I was doing it in the beginning, and I was young and I didn't even know what the question was about because I wasn't raised that way. You know, women saw the same, just go
right.
do it. Also,
no big
in our
deal.
Culture, women have control of the money.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
right.
women are expected to, you know, run a house.
You decide what's going to be spent where, right?
Yeah, and you have to be, you know, happy to learn stuff.
Are we talking about German? Are we talking about Jewish? Are we talking about New York?
We're
talking about Queens?
New York, Queens, just okay. It's all cultures.
Can you hear the Queens accent, Mike?
I can. I know.
Awesome?
You never lose it, huh?
You never lose it. I love it. I love that.
I'm the only one who has it, huh? Yeah. Everybody else lost it.
Lost.
Oh, but
you
I still
that,
live
Mavs?
There.
I love that.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's beautiful. No,
thank
it's beautiful.
You.
I love it. I love New York. It's one
oh,
of
you
my
do?
Favorite places
wow,
in the
great.
Whole world.
Any particular neighborhood?
Well, I mean Manhattan. I just,
all
I,
over,
I, you
yeah.
know, I'm a tourist there. I don't
That's
live
great.
There. But I love the place. It's just something about that energy, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like in 85?
It was a lot more dangerous. It was really funky. Even the neighborhood where I live in the Upper West Side, I live right on Central Park. I'm very
nice.
Blessed. Yeah, it's great. Terrace, great.
Well, how far up are we?
In the 70s.
Okay.
Most of people like
you're
me.
You're near the Dakota Building.
Yeah.
All
That's
right.
that whole line of, you know,
right.
Art Deco buildings.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But one block away from there, crack smoking, it was right. really nasty. So it's interesting. I raised my daughter there mostly. So seeing the difference of how safe it's gotten.
You've just got good. The one daughter?
Yes. I'm very happy with her.
How
I figured I'd
know?
Stop while I was ahead. She just graduated college.
Oh, wow. And, congratulations.
Yeah, in May, yeah.
That's fantastic.
So she's back in New York City, and she wants to take a break, which is fair enough.
Is the dad in the picture? You married to him? What's
oh, I
the
never
story?
Married him.
Oh, okay. He was just around.
No, no. We were in a relationship for 20 years.
And you still get along, or is
I'm very,
not in the picture?
I would get along, but we just had very few things in common. My money.
Ready.
And
ready.
I found out that I was very, we're generous people, he and I.
Sure.
I'm generous in giving, and he was generous in taking. Oh, it's a little too early
sure.
in the morning.
No,
I'm
no,
in a
no,
marvelous
I love
mood.
That.
Let's talk about something else.
No, no, no. But
I want to talk about the Idol show. I would love to come on there. Maybe you'll give me a job.
Well, if you're going to be
here. As a singer.
Here, if you're going to be here. You don't need a job, but
no,
we'll get you on as like
myself.
A guest judge. I think it'd be interesting.
That would be a riot.
Yeah, I think you'd have a lot to say. You'd probably be able to give them some really good pointers, better than me.
I don't know about that.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to have a real tough, sarcastic person to tell you the truth. Auditioning the singers was interesting.
Right,
That's what gave me a thought about
I'm
it.
I'm
going to
tell the producers.
Oh, great.
Right, that'll be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I have Jennifer Rush sitting there telling us, telling people how to sing Power of Love. I'd love that.
How many times do they sing it here? And there's not so, in the other countries, a lot.
So many. It's such a popular
song. It's crazy,
song.
Yeah?
Yeah. It to me... there are very few love songs in particular that stand the test of time because a lot of them are very twee and they kind of you hear them too much and you get bored with them.
Yeah, yeah.
That one has stuck around a long
something?
Time. Yeah.
And actually, when you were
how
playing,
how did you write that?
It flows. Sometimes things are fast, slow. For some reason, it's easier for me to write an up-tempo song, especially lyrically, than a slow song. And I noticed when you were making that joke, I loved it, by the way, the word forsake.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows that word?
Nobody says it anymore.
I'm going to forsake you. Yeah. I know, and I was thinking, how did I come up with that? I guess I wanted to rhyme with make, and I guess I some must have read that word, because that's a pretty old-fashioned word, even for the 80s.
It is.
I love that I can forsake, but I guess... When a great song to me is also when the melody, see, I get all excited.
No, this is what I want to hear.
When the melody is something that sticks in your head, you know, irregardless of what the word is.
Yeah.
And that's a great, are you yawning?
Not at all. I was about to ask you something. No, I would never yawn.
Yeah, a great melody is what sticks in your head on a ballad. And the words have to, like, flow with it, even like the word forsake. If I were to say that now, it sounds like corny, but in a melody. And
where does
it rhymes with the last word, it's your last sentence.
Where did that song come to you, though?
Actually, one of the other writers who were the producers were, they were pretty good. I mean, it all worked at the same time. They were German, mm-hmm. and they didn't speak English.
Ah, okay.
I mean it.
Did they come up with the melody?
Not so much the melody, but the words, power of love.
Okay.
Which is crazy when you don't speak a language, but that's a great hook.
It's
crazy because Huey Lewis had it at the same time and somebody else.
His one was...
The power of love.
That's right. Don't need money. Don't take pain.
So there was somebody else. Didn't Frankie Goes to Hollywood do one too? A little later?
How did that one go?
That I don't remember.
Oh, man.
Because he was always angry. He's like, I'm not Frankie.
What is it, Damon? What?
It was in Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy movie. You got the power.
No, that's
no,
Snap.
No, no, no. That's
Snap
a great
power.
One.
That's a good
that's
one,
a
but that's not
one.
It.
You got the power.
Yeah, that's good. So the process of writing this one was really collaborative. It wasn't...
No. You get the way I did it. I did it differently with Barry Eastman later on. That's in the 90s. He was a great... You should Google him. He's magnificent.
Barry Eastman has got a reputation.
Oh, he does? I'm glad.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he really did. With him, I would go to his place with one total verse and one chorus of lyrics. And then I'd write the rest, but he laid down all the tracks and did the bridge. I went, I can't do bridges. He says, yes, you can.
But there's a formula, right?
There's always different.
There's verse, chorus.
That's
verse,
the way I do
chorus,
it.
Bridge, big chorus.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
It's how it goes. Good for you.
Beautiful.
Sometimes you don't need a real... Bridge, but what you do, sometimes the bridge is the hook, and then you can bring that in later, but you definitely need something else, other than just the verse and chorus.
Did you know it was a hit when you recorded
it? No, and that's the freaky thing, because that was actually the last single on that first LP I released, so I had already had really great success in the other countries, with other songs on that record. That was the last release for markets other than England. And people loved that song. I would do radio interviews.
Yes.
To plug, as we say, the single before it. But I had that on cassette, and what I always loved doing was playing it, my songs, and see which one people liked. And that song, even really husky, you know, tough guys, they liked it. I went, oh, this is interesting. It was one of those songs.
Obviously, you just struck a chord. It was what people wanted to hear.
Yeah. It was, I think music is always like that.
And how soon after that did you realize, hang on, I'm sitting on a gold mine with this song? This
I
is
didn't
the best
really,
song on the,
when
on
you're
the
young
album.
And you're ambitious, I was very ambitious. I just knew that it had, my career, I knew it could go somewhere else because I didn't plan on staying in Germany longer than like a year. You know, when you're a kid, you have like these fantasies that then I'm going to go to the States and open up for a rock band.
Is that what you wanted to do?
That's what I thought
that
was going to happen. So in the kitchen, I had a map of the world.
Yeah.
And a stick pins in it. And then I looked and went, England, that's where you have to go. Because England was a huge, as far as a name goes, for respect. And it was a small market. You probably know that. It was not as big as Germany, but to have a hit in England was a big deal.
It was more reputation than
there
anything
you go.
Else, right?
So I got in a plane. I asked the record label in Germany to please give me the name of somebody in England. And I called them up. Called.
And is it someone we would know?
No, but it was a guy who worked in the label. And then I just flew over there with my boyfriend and just, hi.
I'm Jennifer
the
Rush.
Gaul.
Here
the
it
Gaul.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I said, hi, I'm Jennifer
Isn't
Rush.
It
yes, but you're not German. I said, no. And from then on, he was so great, the record label company of that time. It was relentless because it kept falling out of the charts, that song.
And
it
then
took
going
about
back in.
4 months. It would kept going on one side and then the other side. You know, one side was one to, I think, 50 and then go down and then back in and
you become a musician and you work towards getting a hit, but
yes.
When that moment happens, what does it feel like to know that there are millions of people all over the world singing along to your song?
It's a great feeling. It's surreal. And you also know you have to respect that moment because it's not only about the money, it's about just how spiritual really and great it is that people are all appreciating something you did. I mean, it makes you want to cry. I mean it.
You know, I heard an interview with Billy Joel a while ago where he said...
Oh, he's really got
what
stories.
A great guy. Huh?
Yeah,
such stories. But he was saying he hates performing Piano Man now because...
I can imagine.
He's just tired of it. And he said it he feels like it's worn out.
Boy, he's been around really a long time, and he performs a lot.
But is there a part of you that just when people go, oh, please do Power of Love, you...
Now, that song I don't mind, believe it or not. I think there are certain songs that will remain unknown at the moment, but I have planned, we're getting the whole song list done now so we can rehearse, that I'm doing, and I'll explain how I wrote the lyrics, and I'm going to do them live, not now, but I'll thank you
in
for
the show.
In the show, because there are some that I think, oh, what was I thinking? Because live, you can always do it differently, and this is why it's great to use musicians here. It was tough finding musicians that fly from London. From they're great people here. If you find them early enough, great.
Yeah.
Works. And so the songs are just, there are certain songs that, like Madonna's Eyes, it's a great melody, but it was dum dum. One look in Madonna's eyes. I mean, what was I thinking?
Yeah,
because
Madonna was already famous.
And I, mean,
I wondered
what
if it was, when I listened to that song as a kid, I wondered if it was actually Madonna or if it was the Madonna.
And this is what confused me, you know, too, because I didn't really get the other Madonna, other than the famous Madonna.
Right.
So the whole thing was confusing.
And
but that was their lyric,
it
Madonna's
Eyes. It almost felt like a bit of a sexual song.
I liked the melody, and it was dark. So, and the lyrics, I think, thank you, were fabulous. But they were releasing, I've sung that, and then I went to UK, and there's Madonna in that fabulous outfit, you know, right in the, I think it was Harrods, but one of these stores.
Madonna,
I think, this has nothing.
You never met Madonna, or she never reached out and said, hey, was that about me?
No, we don't do
or?
That. No, she
none
doesn't
of that stuff.
Care. No.
Really?
In fact, in an apartment I purchased, I had heard years later that she didn't pass the board to buy that particular apartment. I said, who cares? She doesn't care. She's going to laugh and go and buy herself an entire apartment.
A whole
building. Absolutely.
But she never, you've never ever had communication with her at all?
No, not
personally.
I know her manager and her publicist and all this, but she's busy. You know, she's living her life, and she's definitely got it figured out. And
she's
her daughter just
huh?
graduated, I mean, from high school, one of the schools my daughter went to, a public school. So I think she's doing a great job, in my small opinion.
See, I think that back in those days, when I try to fantasize about what it must have been like, I imagine you and all these other big 80s music stars hanging out together and doing stuff. And
to me, that didn't happen so much. I hung out with people, actually, who were a little older than I was from the 70s because they had something to teach me, and they were kind. You know what I'm saying?
They're, like who?
I'm not going to name names.
Oh, come on.
No,
we wanna,
no.
Come on. You got nothing to worry about now.
Yes,
on.
I do. Other people's. No, I don't
no,
do
No, but
that.
No one's going to hate you now. You don't have
no,
horrible
no, no. Just
things
other,
to
other
say.
Producers and people. For instance, like he just actually passed away, my first producer, and he was a great guy, Eugene McDaniels. You know, these people really raised me.
Right.
And you should Google him. He was magnificent. He was actually my very first producer and told me, go to Germany, go to Germany. He flew me down to L.A., and he did all the famous, like that Roberta Flack, Feel Like Making Love, or Money,
right.
Money, Money, Money. He wrote that and produced
He wrote that song.
All of them. When you Google him, it's amazing. And he flew me down to L.A., and, you know, he would say, oh, don't go out in the sun. And he was a black man. Don't go sunbathing. I said, why? He said, I'm having enough problems with you. You can't get any dark. You know?
He wrote that Money, Money, Money song?
You Google him. Eugene
McDaniels.
No,
I know the song. This one. This is the song.
Yeah.
Right? This
Wasn't
is
that
the
bass?
Thing they used
that
to
is a timeless song.
Yeah,
even
beautiful.
If it's this year. Huh?
Right.
And it's the same, same arrangement. Huh?
So he wrote that, and he was your
and
producer.
And many more. Yeah, my very first one. So we would talk on the phone, and he'd tell me straight up before I went over there what to do. So I actually spent more time with those people because I'm still in a learning process. You're
sure.
In your 20s. If you're going to go down the tubes fast, that's not good. That's what I meant by the 60s people. See, somebody in the 80s or people like me who grew up in the business, we'd already seen what other people were doing from the 60s and 70s, meaning drugs, partying, and the press was getting really tight in the 80s.
That's right. They were starting to watch you, right?
Absolutely. So I'm like, actually, I was singing in the beginning 80s, but the big time was the middle 80s. So I had already seen how record labels work, how bad talking
bad
behind your back. I never had a lot of that, but you get it.
Did you ever have any run-ins with the paparazzi or any bad stories?
I've had some, but they were very few.
You were wise to that stuff,
no,
right?
No, I mean, it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen, so you just got to ignore it. I even forget it. I don't even know what it was, but there was one time I remember in Spain, my friend said, God, doesn't that bother you? You know, te molesta. Mm. And I said, forget it. You know, because otherwise you're going to go crazy.
Mm.
You know, really.
Yeah, I imagine it must be.
So everybody's different that way. And no, you don't go out a lot because, you know, sure, you want to go out with friends, but it's a compliment that people say hi and can we take a picture?
Hmm.
You know, but sometimes you just want to eat and you get scared your food's going to fall down.
People
take
a picture.
In a normal moment.
Do you look at artists today and think that maybe they've got it easier or harder than you have?
I think it's the same.
It's the same?
To me, it's the absolute same.
You know, I look
same.
At Taylor Swift and I think...
Ugh, what a great artist.
She's
and
great,
hustle.
Huh?
And the word hustle is not a bad word. It's not negative. It doesn't have to be. She's a hard worker and you've got to be a hustler and you've got to learn. And there's something you want, you have to figure out with it, you know, with the people you have working with you or for you or who at least are around you.
Well, and she seems to have her head screwed on right, too.
How?
I mean, it's just, you mentioned the business side of things.
She's really amazing.
At the stage, you were interested in the business of music, too. It must have been a good thing because a lot of people were kind of ditzy and just did whatever they were told to do. And I suppose there was a lot of abuse from
record
labels. Oh,
there was anyway. The abuse financially, also accountants. You know, we've all been through that one.
Absolutely. Didn't the record companies take such a huge part of your money?
Not from mine.
No.
I was very lucky.
How
I mean,
did you get that right?
You had a lucky to have a good lawyer at the time. And sure, you get ripped off. You know, I mean, even when you start out, you're not, I mean, you may, you know, be building yourself up and stuff, but you just know that there's a certain level of ripped offness that you're going to have to endure.
Sure.
That's one thing Eugene McDaniels, after you've Googled him, taught me in the very beginning, you know, that there's some things you're going to see, you know, and there were, you know, with royalties, with song splits and this and that. I didn't quite get it, but it's okay.
Did you make good money out of your career in the
80s? Absolutely.
I mean, you didn't have to work after that, right?
No. No.
But you did carry on because it's your passion.
Well, because people would ask
you
that even then. I thought that was weird because, well, now you've done this, and now what are you going to do? Well, you enjoy what you're doing, so you're going to try to top it.
Absolutely.
That's what you do. You're going to try to write better songs. You're going to work with other producers. You're going to go to other countries and get it better. I mean, how boring a person are you? What are you going to do, lay in bed?
Sit around, yeah.
But a lot of us do have other careers or other passions. You know, a lot of us do a lot of charities. That's the other thing about money. Sure, you can make a lot of money. You got to keep it. But you can also help other people, family members, you know, who aren't exploiting you.
Oh, please tell me you don't have a whole bunch of Nochschlepper family who keep asking you for money.
Not anymore.
No?
But it happens. No, I mean, it's shocking, but yeah. It was very, that's a very shocking part of it.
It's quite something because a lot of people, if you think about like MC Hammer who made money in the 80s as well, he went under twice.
Yeah. Isn't
he
that
lost
something?
All his money and he had hundreds of millions.
Oh, he was loaded. And what did he say? And he was very honest about it. I think he just bought people houses and that you can do that. But they just, people just didn't take advantage, I think.
Yeah.
And ultimately, sure, you can blame him or me, you know, for whatever mistakes we've made, being generous. But, yeah, you have to watch out. And by the way, that's what happened to Whitney.
Yeah.
I'm a defender. Yes, she was had problems. She could have pulled herself together. But when you've got people pulling at you like that,
she
that
had
woman
bad
had
people
she,
around
bad,
her.
And that one show broke my heart. That Bobby and Me or whatever.
Oh.
I don't mind. I'm sorry. You know,
Jesus.
Reality TV. I'm one of those people who
you watch it.
I admit it. It's entertaining as
you're
long as
you're a voyeur.
Maybe that's right. But that one, I remember it was coming on in New York, and I thought, oh great, you know, I'm going to see what my gal Whitney's doing. Oh, that was bad.
Did you ever meet her?
No. No. But I loved her from her voice. I don't have to meet...
What
the,
a voice.
I don't have to meet the artists. You know, that's a funny thing. I was never found that way, but the voice...
What a voice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And a real great singer. She was just talent.
I just think, like, also sin. Bobby Brown, bad man choice,
sin.
Right?
I mean, the girls at the grocery store, I'm serious, when they got married, I'll never forget. She was clicking the thing, and I had this Enquirer... And I was going, oh, my God,
too.
I don't even know this woman. And she goes, isn't that a sin? We all had something to say about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Whitney is an example of like a case in point of choosing a bad man. But, I mean, you said that you were married or you never got married?
I never got married. I figured a kid and all the other stuff was
enough. That's enough.
And I would have eventually, you know, like other people do. But that was one thing I just didn't, and I'm glad, actually. But we were together for 20 years, so I know a lot of people who are together who aren't married.
Well, isn't it always better to get to a certain age and then you haven't been married, or to get to a certain age and you've been divorced four times, you know?
I know. I never understood, but people do that. There's some great artists, and no, I'm not going to mention names. One in particular, an amazing guy, black guy, he's around 65-ish, tours, and just great looking and... Ugh, great. The guy's been married like three times without a prenup, and the state that he gets married, he's got to give the woman half of everything he owns each time. Mm. And
it's pathetic.
And the child support, I mean, these kids, I'm sorry, children there cost money because they're used to private schools, they're used to their own drivers.
Terrible.
I mean, it's obscene.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know how so he is making buku royalties, but... I mean, gosh, he's got like six kids,
he
three
ex-wives,
the and
whole
they're
time.
Living the wife. The women are living the high life.
But enough about Lionel Richie.
Ooh, you're smart. You're
figured
smart.
It out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I figured it out.
Well, he's such a great guy.
He's such a great guy.
And gentle, and
he's been here a couple of times.
Oh,
and he's
great.
He's just, I mean, he's a legend, right? One of those people that has made their contribution to music.
That's
such
a great
an
way to put
way.
It. Contribution, yeah. And keeps doing it.
Sure, absolutely. I think that the music business has, like, it's just changed so much now. You could have retired then and had money.
Well, I mean, I'm not Orphan Annie.
But you
although
could.
I appreciate that cup of coffee you gave me.
Sorry, it's a crappy cup of coffee.
No, the thing that's happened nowadays, and I've actually just started, since you mentioned it, and also the last few days, just thinking about it, because doing interviews makes you, you know, think about other stuff.
You have a bit of time for
reflection.
And it's
the more evil. You just see more of the evil side of it that I don't think everybody really was thinking about. But it's more, you can see it more. Just because there's more press, there are these shows that are great.
Yeah, but it's also harder to make the money now, because you can't sell the records like you used to.
Absolutely.
You know?
And also in countries like this, you know, there's no... it's very difficult for musicians. I'm really totally respectful of somebody who has the passion to be a musician and actually do this for a living, because the level of musicianship in this country is very high, and they read music, you know, that a lot of musicians don't. You know, that takes a lot of time to learn. You've got to be good to read music.
You can read music?
Yeah. I
You're brought up with all these.
No, in the beginning I was you're forced. They usually do that. You know. No, it's terrible. I was forced to go to Juilliard and play the violin.
Oh, wow.
As a kid. And then you have to learn how to. That's not a happy Saturday morning. And Wednesday evenings with what was her name? Madame Detier,
what did she give
you?
She was
a mean
thing.
No, that was the private lesson, which I dreaded. So they let me go after a year and a half of torture. She'd always say, well, look at how he's playing it. You know, the last student. I mean, what a lousy teacher.
She made you feel bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not a nice teacher.
No.
He's trying to make me, you know, competitive with this guy who's obviously been studying for, you know.
Is your daughter musical?
I'm sure she is, but she prefers to express herself in other ways.
Like what?
We don't know yet.
That sounds so cryptic.
I know it is.
That sounds so cryptic.
She's a very wonderful person. I have really, to be honest, been careful with her. I'm thrilled that she doesn't want to be in this business as an artist. It's really tough.
Mm.
I mean, I really did not want to see myself sitting backstage fighting for...
You don't want to be a stage mom.
No, it's really, it can be insidious. Also for the kid, I went through a phase where I had a friend who was a mom who had a kid singing on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you know, sure, I'll help her. And I was fine. Don't pay me. Because these teachers make hundreds of dollars an hour. It's a racket.
Yeah.
You know, there's busloads of kids
right.
doing auditions
because they
for
all
Broadway.
Want desperately to be on Broadway.
Isn't this sad? And the kid doesn't really know. It's the parents who know. Oh, after two lessons, I mean, my heart broke for that kid. I said, I'm not doing this again. And it had a big role, and then the next day it had a TV show, and I just said, well, just watch for the little red light and do what you do. Oh, no, and then you have to, the mother's saying all that.
The mother's putting pressure on.
Terrible.
But that's why I asked you, with your musical family, didn't you have pressure?
No, I did not.
There was no stage mom going on there.
My dad was a little bit, I must say, the first gigs, people would ask me if he was my manager. But right. He was just popping, like he'd be popping there, just looking, he was curious. No, I had no pressure. And we all liked different music as kids. And musicians, really, classical musicians, even the ones I sung with, like Plácido and all the others.
Yeah, Plácido Domingo.
Yeah, we sung a duet. He was so nice. He knew my dad.
You worked with Michael Bolton
as
well.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
What's he like?
Well, when we worked together, he you know, all the ladies just adored him.
With that big hair and everything.
No, I think his, yeah, the hair, yeah, that's a taste thing. But he, I loved his voice. You know, I would get demos of his before he was famous.
Uh-huh.
He was a great, really good songwriter.
You knew him before he was famous?
Absolutely. All of the songwriters in New York and who had the same publishing company, CBS Songs, I think, I would get cassettes of stuff, and I loved his voice. I really did. I was a fan of his voice.
Did you ever work with Diane Warren?
Oh, yes.
I'd imagine you and she would have got on well.
Yeah, she's a great gal. In fact, she's the one who called me up when Selena went number one, and she's very funny, as you probably know. I don't know how much.
I've seen her talk.
Oh, she's
before,
a riot.
But I've never
that's
met
good, because
yeah,
yeah. We had to learn that. We all had to learn how to talk. She was like a truck driver. She knew it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Foul language
we
every
would go
time.
Into these dinners where you had to dress nice with these businessmen, and I would eat before because I was so nervous and I didn't want to be bothered. And then she would sit there and just say whatever came. I mean, vulgar stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Sober vulgar.
Sure.
And we all would go, oh, God. And the guys would take it, the men, because she's the one who's making them all this
she's
money.
Making, she's one of the greatest songwriters of
and
all
she
time.
She is prolific, just, though. She writes thousands.
I mean, I can't even think of any of the songs
yeah,
now.
That's
but
what
just
she does, all
everything.
Of them.
Pretty and much she, any great song, Diane Warren's had a hand
and the
in.
Ones that didn't work, we all forget about them. You know, because she sure. does some, you know, like the rest of us. But, yeah, she's the hit maker. 1,000%. And she sings those demos herself, which is, she gets, when you get a demo or other people, I can always tell if it's her because she knows just how to put her voice higher or lower. It's usually low. It's great.
And occasionally drop in like a fuck or whatever just to screw with people, you know.
She's the one actually who called me when it went to number one in the stage. She goes, I don't want to piss you off, but good luck. But congratulations. Really sweet. Sweet
well, that's
lady.
That's great.
Yeah.
Were you ever bitter or upset that you were left out of that you, US, the what was it called?
Success.
USA for Africa. USA for Africa.
No,
do you remember
no,
that?
No, no, no. Because I've done my other things for Africa. No, these things are always, you can get a lot of things, get nothing, get things that other people may not know about. No, I don't feel bitter. You can't.
You don't hold.
You can get pissed off and get even.
Okay, is that more what you did?
Not yet, but yeah, you do, well, that's what you do, and you say, well, they'll get there someday. You know, as long as it raises money for the cause, that's right. But yeah, sometimes, you know, we're all competitive in a good-natured way.
How's your German?
It's not bad. It's about the same German as like a kid. You know, no, so I don't have
well,
all the big
all right.
words.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
I
but
need.
That's, I mean, that's not bad. Because
well, it's kind of bad in interviews.
It's conversational, right?
It's conversational when you're in some kind of interviews and you want to say a big word and you go, I don't have it.
But the Germans, they like some pretty strange stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that works in Germany that doesn't work anywhere else in the world.
And they don't understand. I mean,
like
the labels
how did David
never
Hasselhoff become such a big star in Germany?
Oh, my God. Well, he's an unusual man. He thinks he bought the wall down.
You can't listen to that music. It's horrendous.
But he says nowadays, God bless, I mean, I'm sorry, bless him, but
he thinks
actually
he brought the wall down.
He said, I saw it, and he's repeated it, he bought the wall down. So that kind of guy.
But he's a drunk.
He's perfectly placed. He's perfectly placed to have sung a song like that. He enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. Bingo out.
But he's a terrible drunk, so we can't
take
him seriously.
I don't know. But he's obviously surviving in this business, which is fascinating. I don't even know. What is he doing now? You're the messenger of info.
I don't even know. He
I thought
did
he was on in London, though.
He did that reality show for a while.
Oh, that didn't work at all, right?
It didn't go well, no. He did America's Got Talent, I think.
Okay, I missed that. Sometimes you're busy.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, I like to watch the local TV when I'm traveling, so I've been watching a lot of TV here.
Okay.
Oh, he did that. Oh, okay. See, I think the one issue is if you want to talk about somebody who's uber wealthy, it's him.
Oh, he's done so well.
But on that show, he kept telling his daughters to stop spending money because they're going broke, and I thought, okay.
And then he was passed out in the corner eating a Big Mac and
sad.
Swearing
we,
at his
listen,
children. And,
we all have.
Jesus,
I mean, that's
horrible.
Just,
what
that's
a scene.
Sad.
What a scene.
That was sad. Somebody should not have posted that.
You've never been a big drinker or any of that stuff.
I've had times where I've, you know.
You went overboard.
You have to learn.
Sure, we all
to
do. Yeah, all right.
But,
you got
no.
a cold or something? With this,
do I keep snorting?
The sniffing, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm worried that you,
you
got a cold or something.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know what? I feel so comfortable. I wasn't concentrating. I just had sinus surgery, I swear.
Oh,
like
really?
A month ago.
Were you nervous when you had the sinus surgery that it would affect your singing?
No.
No?
Oh, how many times did I snort? Was it 20?
About 100.
Oh, you have to...
Edit it out. Because it's going to sound so bad.
No, I'm glad because I have to. Oh dear. Well, that means I really like you. I better, but I'll, as of now, I won't do it again.
No. Don't worry.
No, I won't. It's really a bad habit.
But when you go for surgery like this, I mean, you know what happened to Joan Rivers? She went for a little throat thing.
Oh, that was tragic. But you see, there's something that people have been saying, and I believe it, is that prominent people get bad service, and that's get worse care.
Why do you think that happens?
Because they're flustered. You would think that they're not going to be flustered, an elderly woman. You know what I'm saying?
But
she's a star.
She's a huge star, yeah.
This is the evilness that we all get to see now, clearly, that maybe we would have just heard a rumor about 20 years ago. It's obvious. And they were taking pictures of her when she was under anesthesia. And these are doctors. These are learned people.
Isn't that disgusting?
It is. It's evil. It's pure evil.
Do you ever worry
and
about
that's
that?
Sad.
Do you ever worry about stuff like that? That because
I've had things happen, you just have to get over it.
But now it's the age of the selfie and people with these selfies. Aren't you sick of this crap?
Yeah, it's invasive.
You just say no to the selfies.
Well, you try to, and then people actually take videos and then they change them around and spread. This is, I think, the thing that we're all realizing now. We're seeing how evil can be. Because it gives people a way to express that bad quality in their characters.
And there's no such thing as privacy anymore, right?
No. I'm glad to see kids my daughter's age, 21, they don't do it anymore. They went through a phase, which I think is okay. The Facebook, thing with friends and you teach them, don't put your stuff on there and this and that. Now they don't even do it anymore.
Are you on social media at all?
No.
You don't?
I have a Facebook page, but people can place that. No. I never was big on that anyway. You have to have a private life, otherwise you'll go nuts.
So where do you live most of the time now?
In New York City.
Okay.
In my beloved neighborhood.
You're on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Do you also have a house out in Long Island or something?
No, I have a place I stay. Long Island was off my radar until a few years ago.
But
can you imagine?
You're born in Queens.
Yes, and I always grew up on the Upper West Side where I am now.
All right.
But I really had no idea what the Hamptons was.
Okay. Just never
Ariel,
went out of town.
My daughter had... Oh, I was always out of town, just not there.
Right.
I've kind of heard about it, but I'm busy doing other things, traveling.
Also,
However, you can
travel three blocks in New York and see the world. You don't need to leave Manhattan.
Yeah, but I can see the mentality of, listen, in the olden days, before they had air conditioning, that's what people did. They had an apartment in New York, and then they'd drive their cars,
the 1800s
to Long Island, to the Catskills. But I've actually went 3 years ago. My daughter has a friend, a very dear friend, who has a house out there. She likes the girl, not because of the house.
No.
And
but
so
it's
I went
nice
out there
to
and
have
it's,
a house there. That's
I guess.
Good.
It's just too cold for me in the winter to live out there.
Now, in South Africa, we got your dates here. Let's let everybody know. We've got Friday and Saturday, the 9th and 10th of October 2015 in Bloem. 14th of October, Cresta, Johannesburg. 17th of October, Rivonia, Johannesburg. Those at the Barnyards. Then we've got the 18th of October in Pretoria at the Barnyard at Parkview. Harare, Zimbabwe. Yeah,
that's
nice.
That's fun. I think this is
check
exciting.
Out Zimbabwe. You ever been to Zimbabwe
no.
before? I think that'll be... Can you imagine if the president pitches up and starts dancing to your song?
That would be very
I'd like
cool.
That. I'd like to see that. That's Harare, Zimbabwe, 23rd of October. 24th is at the Barnyard in Willow Bridge. Then the Guild Theatre in East London on the 28th of October. This is all October so far. Feather Market Hall, Port Elizabeth on the 30th of October. Friday the 6th of November at the Opera House Playhouse in Durban. And then on the 7th of November in Windhoek, Namibia.
Sure. I was there 20 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of Germans in Windhoek in Namibia.
Thanks for the
if
warning.
If you speak German there, they'll like you.
Really?
Yeah.
I noticed when I was there to do the video for that credo with the South African choir, was that 20 years ago? There was a lot of old abandoned buildings with German stuff in it. It's creepy.
Go up on the stage and greet them in German. They'll be thrilled.
All right.
It's like their unofficial third language or whatever it is. Yeah, it's worth a look. What an interesting life you've had.
Isn't that great?
And continue to have.
Yeah,
I'm
happy.
It's not over at all.
No.
Got
unless you say
still.
So.
Is there a man in your life?
No.
Happily single?
Very happy.
living it up. You got great hair, by the way, and
thank
you look
you.
Fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, you look great.
This was early in the morning.
Look at you.
Thank you. You're very
you've kept the you kept the long hair, but it's not the big hair from the 80s.
No, I actually like the big hair.
Did you?
My manager who's with me, they've been very upset about
why?
The big hair.
They want you to have.
No,
the big
they
hair.
Don't.
They say
they go
bad.
Through my closet and say, no, this is too much hair. Because I could keep wearing hair and tease it. I just love it. I love hair. Walk by a salon, honey. We went out to lunch yesterday. There was this hair hanging in the salon. I go crazy.
Wanted to buy
I
it
love
on the
hair.
Spot.
Right. Do you ever look at any of your outfits from the 80s? Because, I mean, if I look at how...
Oh, my gosh.
Some people dressed in the 80s and you
that
think,
was pretty
oh,
bizarre.
What was I
it
wearing?
Was, well, the one is as horrible as I don't know why that happened, but that Ring of Ice video that you guys are showing, yeah. That's before I had my clothing down pat. So because they were really nice, they started paying for me to design and have these people make my clothes in leather. So that was great.
Okay.
But that one video with that blue top, I don't know what was going on there because that was a big, beautiful body under that top. So I guess somebody thought, let's just cover it up. And then you see the other, now that I had never thought about this, but then the next one, you see the Ring of Ice with the leather. If you really analyze it,
yes,
it was black leather. It was always black. And then it had a little white, and that was
like
the Ring
like
of Ice.
Like almost like a sash, right?
That was the Ring of Ice.
Oh,
you see?
Look at this. You're
I was
teaching
thinking.
Us things. This is something that had never been heard before, anybody.
So that's what you get when you get a young lady with a dressmaker with leather. So the outfits were wild. And you know who wears my stuff now? Just the jackets. My daughter, the kids enjoy those.
Oh, really?
And those are great. Those were
so
made very well.
Did you keep
well.
A lot of those?
Not a lot of them. You know, they go over the years. You just say, oh, please.
You want to throw them?
No, I mean, it depends on your body size. You know, it gets bigger, smaller. The jackets are still very cool. I must have about 10 leather jackets, you know, with studs or bone faces. Or they're cool.
And lots of shoulder padding. They used
that
to have,
once, oh, my
they
God.
They used to have a lot of shoulder padding in the 80s,
well, we
right?
bigger girls enjoyed that, you know, because it kind of evened it out.
That power dressing thing.
Yes, the power. That thing. It was a power, I must say. Oh, you're a guy. You're so interested.
I know stuff.
Yes, you know.
I know stuff.
It was about power dressing.
I know all
dressing.
About you.
No, power dressing is a good
thing. Yeah. I'm onto this.
We
listen,
liked it.
Jennifer Rush, what a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much.
And you really are. You're such an interesting human being. You've got such
I
a great story.
It.
You've got such great songs.
That's
we,
kind.
How would we ever have lived without Power of Love?
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
I wonder how many guys have proposed to their girlfriends.
Oh, I've heard stories.
You know, I'm sure you've heard some horrible stories about guys
oh,
doing
no.
the most cheesy things in the universe.
Cheesy's nice.
Cheesy's good.
Yeah, women like cheesy, no?
Well, you know what?
You don't like cheesy?
Not so much.
Yeah.
You know what? I love that song. I think
thank
it's great
you very
that
much.
It's great that you came to visit us today. All the best with your tour in October.
I appreciate it.
And in
it.
The meantime, I'm going to speak to the producers. We see if we can't.
Oh, yes,
we
that
can't
would
get
be
you
fun.
On the TV show. That would be fun, huh?
All right, maybe I'll come and audition with a wig. And
that would be
fun. That's what I was saying. Imagine. Also, I'm going to come in and make believe I'm somebody else.
Imagine you come in and you do
and
your
you
song.
No, I have to. I can change. Most singers can change their voices around. Have you seen that, Christina
oh, sure.
Aguilera? So I'll just come in and make believe I'm auditioning.
Who do you like at the moment? Who are you listening to?
Well, the usual. I mean, I really love Taylor Swift's songwriting, Beyonce, Rihanna. I mean, you're just great singers.
Isn't that Beyonce a powerhouse, huh?
Just the look, just everything is
she's
great.
Superb.
And that other one, that she's really an acrobat. The Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
I mean, if people
beautiful.
Are going to say something oh. bad about her, you can't, because that's the kind of voice you're going to have. She can go high. She can sing right. anything.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer Rush, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm
going
to play your song to everybody's they're hungry for it. We've got to play the song. So here it is, Power of Love. Thank you,
thank
Jennifer.
Thank you, bless you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank
wow.
you.
What a great privilege.
In the morning of lovers sleeping tight, all rolling by like thunder now. As I look in your eyes. CliffCentral.com